This podcast was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 44. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and I am here with...
Michael Morale.
Michael, good to be here. We are here for another roundtable discussion discussing all the latest news in the SMA community. So how are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing great, buddy. How about yourself?
Doing really well. It's a busy time for me, but in a really good way. I'm actually, at the time of recording this, I'm headed to Boston tomorrow for a Cure SMA leadership conference, which I don't know a whole lot about, but it'll be probably a good time to get updates on the organization and network with some people. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I'll be back by the time this podcast goes up, but that I'm really looking forward to. So
good deal. It should be an interesting time for you.
It really will. And, I'll be talking about it more in my columns and probably the next podcast. And just as a quick note before we get started, I just want to mention that we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of this podcast. So I just want to take a minute and thank all of our listeners for supporting us for this long. I recorded my first episode in October of 2017, and that was with Christine Getman, who's the kind of chief of Magic Wheelchair, which is the organization that makes specialized costumes for kids in wheelchairs. And yeah, I really didn't know where this show would take off. And, we're 44 episodes in, and it's really exciting to see. I mean, I've talked to so many different people in the SMA community, and then you and I have done these roundtable discussions. And so it's really excited to see how much it's grown. And I just want to thank you, for Michael, for being a part of it, and to all our listeners for supporting us. So, right. Yeah, just to share that.
Thank you as well, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
Are you interested in learning more about the latest treatment for spinal muscular atrophy? Visit treatsma.com to see how this treatment works, hear about family stories, and learn about the steps to starting treatment. Visit treatsma.com.
All right. Well, to get started, we have a couple news stories for you all to go over. So the first one was an article published on September 19th on our main website at smanewstoday.com. And this talks about a new phase 2 trial for Spinraza. So, Michael, why don't you give us an overview of this article?
Okay. The article was actually really interesting. It talked about how Biogen is looking into increasing the amount of Spinraza that they're giving their patients. So in the article, it talked about a new global phase 2 and 3 clinical trial that will test whether higher doses of Spinraza will provide greater benefits to SMA patients of all ages. Biogen's trying to get 126 patients with either infantile or later onset SMA, and the study is going to be called DEVOTE. DEVOTE. And what I'm going to do is, in the description, if you're listening to this podcast in either SoundCloud, Spotify, or iTunes, I'll list the website that you can go to where you can look at this study. And there's not a lot of information out there yet because they haven't started it, but this study will be conducted at 50 sites around the world. It's scheduled to start in February of 2020, which is surprisingly just a few months away. And its scheduled end date is December of 2022. Now, that scheduled end date could change either, less or more time. Once they get toward the end, then they'll probably be able to set a definite end date. But what they're trying to do is to check not only the efficacy of the higher dosage, it's also checking the absorption, distribution, metabolism, and the excretion within the cerebral fluid. Okay, and they're planning to deliver this intrathecally, like they are now with any patient that receives Spinraza, whether it be in your back, like the type of injections that I get, or through your neck, which is how you do it, called a cervical injection, or through your side. Either of these three are considered intrathecal injections. So
right.
The study that Biogen will be conducting, it's basically divided into three stages. Stage A, B, and C. Stages A and C will be an open-label, no-control group study, and Stage B will be a double-blind randomized study with a control group. And the control group is basically nothing more than a placebo group. Okay? So before I begin, let me just give a little bit of background information about Spinraza. I'm sure a lot of people already know this, but whenever we go into the hospital to receive our injections, we get 12 milligrams, okay, which I think equates to, I think it's 5 cc's. So we normally get 12 milligrams each injection. So I'm giving you this number just to keep in the back of your mind because I'm going to be telling you what they're planning on increasing this to. In part A, the patients are going to be between 2 and 15 years old with later onset SMA, and they're going to be receiving a 28 milligram loading dose on days 1, 15, and 29, followed by similar maintenance doses 4 and 8 months later. And then in part B, the patients will have infantile onset or later onset SMA, and they'll be between 2 and 10 years old, and they're going to be treated with a 50 milligram loading dose 15 days apart, followed by maintenance doses of 28 milligrams every 4 to 8 months. Okay, this will be compared to the approved 12 milligram dose and 4 loading doses and maintenance doses that we get, okay, every 4 months. And then in part C, this will be for adults that are on Spinraza over at least 1 year prior to the study, and they'll receive a single 50 milligram dose 4 months after their most recent treatment, followed by 28 milligram maintenance doses 4 and 8 months later. So this will basically help assess how to transition patients that are already on Spinraza to the higher dose. So, you know, the one thing that I've always wondered, Kevin, is, you know, why did we as adults receive the same dosing amounts that they gave infants?
Right.
You know, we received the same amount. And I always wondered that, and I think the reason why was because they were checking what the long-term effects of Spinraza was going to be. Now, there's a lot of questions floating around that, well, if you go in every 4 months for your maintenance dose, that's $125,000 for 12 milligrams. Well, if they double it, which is what they're looking at doing, is it going to double the price? Now, nobody knows this. Nobody has said anything from Biogen or the FDA. Nobody's really given any information about this. But these are some of the questions that I think will start popping up here pretty soon. So we at BioNews Services, we're really looking at this study to see where it goes, and we're going to try to get some of these answers. But again, Biogen may not be able to release these answers until they get approval from the FDA. So we don't know when we're going to get it, but as soon as we do get the information, we'll make sure that we pass it along.
Right, right. Well, and that's a really good question about, you know, would that raise the price if it's just a higher dosing? And, you know, it's interesting because, like, you and I have experienced pretty positive results from a normal dosing of Spinraza, but I've talked to plenty of other adults who haven't had that as much. And, you know, because SMA is so individualized, I feel like it's going to have different effects. But I wonder if those same people were on a higher dose, if they would get, you know, see more positive results, or they would get, you know, see the progression stop and get more strength as a result. So I'm also really interested in seeing the results of this study and the long-term effects of it. But like you said, I think it will be a while before we get any kind of concrete answers. And these things, anytime you go through FDA and this process, it takes a long time. But at the same time, I think it's really positive that they are looking into these things, and you know, eventually we will have some answers on this.
Right. And I know one of my subscribers to my personal YouTube channel asked me, they sent me an email asking, how do you become a member of this study? And what I would really recommend is, if you go to the website that I'm going to be linking to, it's just, I think it's www.clinicaltrials.gov. And I think that's it. But anyway, I'll find out for sure and I'll put it in the description. But if you go there and you look at the study, it gives you the contact information and the phone number for you to call if you want to be a part of this study. And you can also talk to your doctor, whichever doctor you're going through for your treatments, talk to them and find out if they know any information about it. But it's only going to be at 50 sites around the world, so it's going to be pretty selective.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And we have one more news story, and this deals with a different SMA treatment currently in the works. So we've talked about risdiplam before, which is the oral treatment being developed by Roche and Genentech. And Michael, do you want to just share? This was an article republished just this week, at the time of recording at least, on October 7th, and it's titled, "Risdiplam Continues to Show Survival Motor Function Improvements According to Trial Results." So, Michael, do you want to give us another overview of this story?
Sure. In this article in the SMA News Today website, we discuss how risdiplam continues to show, you know, promise as a safe and effective therapy for people with SMA types 1, 2, and 3. For those of you that are not aware, risdiplam, if it gets approved by the FDA, would be the first oral treatment for those of us who suffer from SMA. It was developed by Roche and Genentech in collaboration with PTC Therapeutics and the SMA Foundation. And it's designed to boost the ability of the SMN2 gene to produce a functional SMN protein in motor neurons. In part one of the open label phase 2-3 Firefish trial, 14 of the 17 infants, which basically equated to 82%, had a CHOP INTEND score of 40 or greater. Now, the CHOP INTEND is just a measurement test that they give these patients to see where they stand within a certain range. This scale goes from 0 to 64, and the higher the score indicates better motor function. The researcher said that a score of 40 or greater is rarely observed in untreated infants. The article goes on to state that independent of age or disease severity, these infants should show clinically meaningful motor improvements compared with the natural history of the disease. The interim data from 45 participants showed that risdiplam led to a sustained greater than twofold increase in the median SMN protein over 12 months of treatment. As of the date this article was posted on the SMA News Today website, risdiplam has been well tolerated at all dosing levels and in all clinical studies with no treatment-related withdrawals. One interesting quote in the article came from Dr. Stuart Peltz, who's the CEO of PTC Therapeutics. He stated the following. He said, "These data continue to demonstrate the disease-modifying properties of risdiplam across a broad range of ages, and infants receiving the drug are continuing to experience improved motor outcomes." Now, on a side note, we have heard through the grapevine that Roche Genentech will probably be seeking FDA approval for risdiplam in the next probably couple of months, but as of today, we haven't heard anything with regards to an actual date. I would really encourage those who are listening to this roundtable discussion to log into the SMA News Today forum, and if you haven't already done so, create an ID so you can keep up to date with regards to the latest information regarding risdiplam, because if they get FDA approval, this is going to be a really powerful treatment.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because at this year's Cure SMA conference, and I even went to just a local Cure SMA fundraiser a couple weeks ago, and Genentech has had a big presence at both of those. They had representatives at the local fundraiser, and they had a really big presence at the conference this year. They it was really cool because they did a scholarship to get a lot of adults there, and you know, it's something I hope that scholarship will be there next year as well, because it that's what got our own Brianna Albers, who's a columnist for us, that's what got her there, and many others. So that was really cool. But yeah, no, it's very possible they could file for FDA approval later this year. You know, again, we're just journalists. We're not certified to say that. All we can do is speculate. But it is absolutely kind of the next big thing in the treatment in the works, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. So
yeah, I think it will be. And you know, there's a lot of benefits to an oral treatment. I think it'll be cheaper than the other treatments, just for the simple fact that, you know, we won't have to go into a hospital and pay for a surgical suite and the actual time that it takes to do the procedure right now.
Sure.
So, you know, if they can perfect something like this, it would be great just to be able to drink something and go home.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they'll probably just give you the medication for you to drink. And I think it's right now, I think it's on a daily basis.
Right.
But I'm not really sure what the dosing levels will be. And I think that's what they're testing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard daily as well. But, you know, I think I talked to one person who was in the clinical trial, but obviously they're only allowed to say so much. But yeah. But that's really cool. So awesome. Well, thanks again, Michael. And like he said, you know, please join our forums. We have not only a lot of information on there, and we would love to hear from you, but we talk about all kinds of topics. And that leads me into my next section, which we will talk about some of our recent columns on the main SMA site. So the first one is one I wrote, not to be self-absorbed, but I did want to talk about this because this was a column I published on September 24th, and it's called Disability Pop Culture and Acceptance in the Pretty One. And this is about a memoir I recently read by a woman with cerebral palsy. So just give you a little background for our listeners out there. I don't know, for anyone who's very social media savvy, you may have heard or come across the disabled and cute hashtag. And basically this hashtag is designed to empower people with disabilities and kind of make them feel attractive and, you know, kind of challenge that stereotype that, you know, people with disabilities can't date or can't be attractive and all that. And this hashtag was created by this woman named Kia Brown, who is the writer of this memoir, The Pretty One. And she's a big time disability advocate and writer and pop culture enthusiast. And so I read her memoir and absolutely loved it. And I just wanted to kind of share my thoughts on it. You know, so I'll read, let me read just an excerpt of this column. I said, as I read The Pretty One, I saw reflections of my own story and Kia's. For one, both of us are pop culture enthusiasts. We don't merely watch movies and TV shows and read books. We consume stories. Brown devotes an entire chapter to her love of pop culture and how that love is often unrequited. So, obviously, she spends a lot of time in this book talking about media representation of people with disabilities, which, for anyone who's read my columns or heard me for a while, you know that's a topic I'm passionate about, but I really like what she has to say about, you know, she speaks as a Black woman with cerebral palsy and how, you know, so many of her demographics are often underrepresented or not represented at all in mainstream media. And she just calls on, you know, TV organization networks and film studios to, you know, really amp it up in this area and give a voice to people like her. So it's a really powerful memoir. I encourage anyone to read. I don't know, Michael, do you have any thoughts just from reading this column?
No, pretty much what you said. I think as time goes on, the public is being introduced more and more with regards to people with disabilities, and that we can lead a normal life. Yes, we're sitting in wheelchairs. Yes, we face obstacles that they may not face, but, you know, to us, these are not necessarily obstacles. These are something that we've had to deal with all of our life.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. But yeah, so I just encourage listeners, check out the column and check out the book. And on that note, too, not just to advertise the forums again, but we have an entire forum for disability and media where we talk about books and movies and TV shows like this. Absolutely. Also, you know, support work by authors and creators with disabilities. So that's all I want to say about that. But and then the last column I want to talk about, this one is cute. So Alyssa Silva's columns always, you know, entertain and inspire me in a lot of ways, but this one was just priceless. So, I remember I read this and I sent it to Michael right away and one of our other coworkers, and I was like, you have to read this right away. Oh my gosh. But this is called Finding Humor in Stinky Situations. It was published on September 27th. And I'll read an excerpt in just a minute, but just as an overview, this is Alyssa reflecting on her first day of middle school, which is an awkward enough experience for anyone. But the thing that made it all the more memorable is that unknowing to her, she went to school on the first day, and there had been a skunk underneath the ramp, like connected to her house. And so her wheelchair literally smelled like a skunk, and she was totally oblivious to it. And so she ended up having to be sent home the first day because of this. So I'll just read this excerpt here for everyone. But at school, I was at my locker trying to learn how to use a combination lock when I overheard kids shouting. The ceilings were low and the halls were narrow, causing commotion as kids scurried to their next class. Above the indiscreet noises, I heard kids yell, "Ew, what's that smell? Dude, it's probably just kids coming from the gym." Unaware of the smell they were complaining about, I made my way to my next class. Soon, I was pulled aside in the hallway. The smell was me. Well, it wasn't technically me. It was the aroma I was giving off after unknowingly being sprayed by a skunk. So I just died laughing reading this. It's one of those, like, I'm sure we all have awkward middle school stories, but this about tops it all. So I don't know, Michael, do you have any thoughts on this one or any stories of your own?
You know, I've never been sprayed by a skunk, thank goodness. But I remember when I was in, I believe I was in second grade, I went to our church school. And my parents raised me and my brother in the Episcopal Church. So when I went to school there, we always went to chapel every day. And then we did the whole, you know, our communion and everything on Wednesdays. And I remember Wednesdays when we did communion, the priest would get up and lecture and do a small sermon. Granted, you're talking to a bunch of seven-year-olds, so it was, you know, not a very long sermon. But I remember I was in a manual wheelchair, and I looked down on my right armrest because I felt something crawling on my arm, but I didn't know what it was. And I looked down, and there were about 100 little baby cotton spiders.
Oh, my.
And I just freaked out. And it was so embarrassing because after I freaked out, the priest just, you know, walked over to me, said, "Mr. Morelli, what seems to be the problem?" And he saw all these little spiders crawling on my wheelchair. Well, what had happened was a mother spider, I guess, had laid her egg in the tube of the armrest in my wheelchair. And it just happened to be that was the time that the egg sac broke and all these little babies started coming out of the woodworks. So
oh, wow.
We went and, you know, got it all cleaned off, put my armrest back on, and I never heard another word about it. Well, I left right after that while chapel was still going on, and apparently he said something to the other kids, like, "Don't give him a hard time about this," because nobody said a word to me, which I'm very thankful for, because it was already embarrassing enough. So I can imagine what Alyssa was going through.
Oh, it's just priceless. And, well, I'll go ahead and tell a quick story, too, just because it actually, if you read my column, that by the time this podcast goes up, it'll be the same day it goes up. But anyway, I remember a really funny story about how I met one of my best friends in middle school. So when I was in sixth grade, and, you know, my chair, I don't know if yours does this too, but it can recline and tilt and move the footrest, you know, with my joystick. And, you know, so I'm sitting there in sixth grade and, you know, all new people to me. And, you know, when I'm at my desk, people can't see my footrest when I was moving it, but, you know, I would adjust it in the middle of the class and it would produce this slight like buzzing noise. And, you know, it was one of those things I was a little hesitant to do it because I didn't want to attract attention and, you know, make it like get any awkward stares and all that. But I was like, you know, I need to make my feet comfortable and they can't sit stiff for, you know, 45 minutes or whatever. And so I would do that. And I, you know, I can only imagine what the other students thought I was doing. But I had this, my friend Rob, one morning he came up to me in between classes and he just said, "Does that thing have a massage on it?" You know, and it took me a minute to figure out what he was talking about. And then I laugh at that, you know, thinking back on it, because, yeah, he became one of my best friends in middle school and we still keep in touch because had a lot of same interests. But it's just so funny how SMA creates those little nuances that make for really entertaining stories like this. So yeah. This is another column I just encourage you all to read for entertainment purposes. It's just pretty priceless. But all right, well, we are wrapping up. But before we close out, I know, Michael, you had an announcement I wanted to let you share with our listeners.
Yeah, I'm going to be the guest speaker at a UT Southwestern Medical Center on, I believe it's Wednesday, November the 6th, when I went through my last PT evaluation at the hospital so I could be recertified to continue with my Spinraza treatments. The lady that did my assessment was one of the guest speakers at the 2018 Cure SMA conference that was held here in Dallas. So when I did my first evaluation about 6 months ago, we immediately recognized each other, and come to find out, she is the associate professor of physical therapy out there at UT Southwestern. So she asked me if I would be interested in coming and talking to not only her class, but possibly some doctors and some other medical professionals out there at UT Southwestern and talk about Spinraza along with physical therapy. So I'm going to be, luckily I've got the ability to sit in front of her class and talk to them about, you know, exactly what SMA is. When I went for my PT evaluation last week, Dr. Nelson told me that her class just got back from one of the MDA camps, and they sent all of their students to this camp so that they could spend time with the kids that had muscular dystrophy. And so they kind of know a little bit about muscular dystrophy. And then Dr. Nelson's also going to be lecturing on SMA because she knows a lot about it. So Dr. Nelson works for the company that developed Zolgensma. So she's very familiar with SMA. So her students will know a little bit about what it is, but she wants me to talk about the benefits of physical therapy and some of the benefits that I've seen with regards to my increased strength and my core muscles and my breathing and my balance and everything like that. So it should be a lot of fun.
That's great. No, congrats on that. And I look forward to hearing about it. And I know we're probably going to do an article on that on our main site or on the HCP one. So listeners can be on the lookout for that. But yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, Michael, did you have any final thoughts before we close out here?
Nope. I think we pretty well covered everything that we needed to. I appreciate your time today. And I hope all of our listeners will continue to, you know, support us. Like Kevin said, we've been doing this now for a little while, and while we may not be the best public speakers in the world, we think we're bringing a pretty good message to everyone that listens.
Absolutely. And yeah, thanks again for your support, and we will be back in just a few weeks. So, all right. Well, I'm Kevin Schaefer, and I'm here with
Michael Morelli.
Awesome. And thanks for listening, and we will see you all next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. I'm Michael Morelli, Senior Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.